A piece of financial advice that I learned from watching Real Housewives of Orange County. This woman on that show, Shannon Bedore, was going through a divorce. And after her divorce, she made it a point to work so that she could have her own income.
Right.
And that was also like during the court deciding how much spousal support she would receive.
Okay.
And the process of making arguments for what she deserves and what she needs are ongoing. So
yes.
By working in that period of time, her income increased just for that year, higher than it had been in previous years. But
right.
That's what the court wanted to see, was the fact that she made more money.
Right.
That at that moment weakened the argument that she needed spousal support.
Totally.
And she ended up losing way more in the grand scheme.
Yeah.
Because her working, and it's just like, man, those incentives, you've got to like watch out and be like,
do.
Like, it's like when I go to a Mexican restaurant and it has the price per glass and the price per pitcher, and you make the assumption that the price per pitcher is economically like a cheaper deal. But sometimes I'll go to those restaurants, do the math.
I know.
And I'm like, I literally ask the waiter how many glasses are in a pitcher. And when they tell me, if they're honest, sometimes it'll be like, so you know it's cheaper for me to just buy four glasses. And it's like no one does that math because they just kind of trust.
I am always doing that math. Yeah. No. You have to check stuff
trusting.
Like that. No. And I also don't like, I don't understand even like, I don't even know how to explain it. I'm so bad at math, and yet even I can like sometimes be like, no, you should just get four glasses rather than a pitcher. That's important though. Women shouldn't work either. I mean, that's if you learn anything from the Real Housewives thing, it's that women shouldn't have to work, but.
Right, if you're right.
That no one will vouch for. Everyone uses and no one believes. There's a dog in the yard with a manner that's rough. Yet there's something about you that he understands. The girl at the window, covered in ashes, smiles grotesquely in the light of the day.
So, okay, in the spirit of exploring our great country,
yes,
we have some exciting things planned today. But first, I should formally introduce our guest.
Yay.
Isabel.
Hi. Yeah, I am Isabel. I have had a podcast called Pick Me, which is on Spotify. Chris has been on my podcast before and kind of in hiatus right now, but this is a beautiful way for me to get my like podcasting energy out. So I love being a guest on Cute and On. So thank you for having me.
Ah, I'm excited. Okay, cool. Plan for today is to use our joint knowledge of reality TV, Mississippi history, and California insights.
Yes.
You know, see what's going on in America.
Yeah, exactly.
I chose an episode of Wife Swap, and we've both watched it.
Yes.
This episode featured the Cameron family and the Drago family, was it?
Drago family. Drago, yeah. Because I remember being like, that's quite a name, you know? Yeah.
Right. And then Ro Drago.
Ro Drago. And then his name is something else that's like one syllable.
Jay Drago.
Right? Jay and Ro. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm obsessed with them. Yeah. I don't remember the other family's names, though. I'm so bad with that kind of thing.
Let's just start with the Dragos then.
Yeah.
I have so much to say about Ro.
I do too.
This like effervescent woman that evolution like led up to this point.
Exactly.
And it hasn't gotten better than that.
No, that's so true. She is like the pinnacle. And like she's exactly what I wanted from like a New Jersey housewife, you know, if you can call her that, because she's not very invested in being like a wife or a mother. She just kind of like does her own thing in their house, which is cool, you know?
Totally.
I'm obsessed with her. She looked like Trisha Paytas to me. Like, I kept seeing Trisha Paytas in her, like, an older Trisha Paytas, you know, like, weathered.
Okay, yeah. Now that you say that, I'm like, yes, that is exactly how I feel.
If you look back, yeah, because she looks like, sometimes, like, she looks like when Trisha's been crying, you know, where she's just kind of, like, sad. Yes. And, like, her hair is a mess. So I hope.
Yes,
like,
no makeup.
Yeah, just, like, kind of a mess.
She definitely has Trisha Paytas energy too.
For sure. Not she's like just a tiny, strong little woman. Yeah. She's very talkative. Yeah.
So, okay. I guess the like freak factor for Ro is that she has a collection of very realistic baby dolls that she plays with.
Mm-hmm. Reborns, right? Yeah. Like reborn dolls.
Reborns. Yeah. That's the brand. And then they like, she just has dumped a ton of money into this collection, ton of effort. She like spends a lot of time with them. I believe it, but
I do too.
I don't know if I can be the judge of whether or not she's neglecting her other kids, but she does love the dolls.
Yeah, she loves the dolls. I just was so, I felt such like a sensation of like warmth when I was like seeing that was like her like weird niche thing. I was just like, oh, I love when like adult women are really into dolls, especially when like, this is bleak, but I know that like there's a big community online with reborn dolls for like women who have like had miscarriages or women who've like lost children. But I like that she's like, no, I have like three completely healthy children. I just prefer to hang out with these like a room of dolls. Like, it's crazy. I love it.
It made me think about like communal child rearing and infant care, and how women used to, or just like humans used to be in groups of like 100 and 150, and the infant care would just be done by at least like 8 women, but that was sort of like what they did.
Yeah.
And then I think the men would help out too, but more so with like the kids as they're older, teaching them how to like do shit.
Sure.
But it makes sense that the woman would, or it makes sense that Ro, I should say, is like really into holding small babies. It's like,
yeah,
that makes sense.
It does. It like speaking of evolution, it's like, that is like, she looks like that's what she's been meant to do. You know, like she is like made to hold a baby like that. So I love that she's outsourced it. She doesn't like run a daycare. She doesn't like babysit for family members. She just like has a bunch of dolls. It's awesome. Yeah.
Totally. And it's, I don't really have anything to say about her husband.
He was honestly not. I was kind of like bored by him. I think he loves her, which is nice. Or I mean, he provides the life she wants. I was kind of like hung up for a minute on how when she's doing her weird introduction to her baby room, she was like, they all have real spines. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what that means. She said real spines. And she like didn't really elaborate. And I was like, what's a real spine? I like wrote that down because I was like, real spines.
Stop. I forgot. And they're so creepy. How did I forget? How did I forget?
I just couldn't. When she was like, I feel like Angelina Jolie because one of these babies is from Canada and one of these babies is from London. And I was like, oh my God, these white baby dolls. She's like, I'm kind of like Angelina Jolie. Oh, she's amazing. Yeah,
perfect woman.
She makes them look like sick. Like she paints their faces, and think she thinks it's cute, but they look like jaundiced or like stuff. Right. They look like they've died. Like
when Azealia Banks said that Elon Musk looked like he had like flesh sewn to his mouth to like create the semblance of lips, like his barely human lips. That was Olivia.
Period. Yep, Olivia, and she took. Olivia's the one. No, did she take Emma or Olivia
Emma, but okay. Olivia was the one that looked worse.
Olivia was busted. Olivia was, like, I love her. And I was also obsessed with how, part of her shtick, obviously, is she hates housework. She hates any, like, she takes, like, 5 to 6 hour naps a day is what he said, which I was like, that's amazing. That's, like, a long nap every day. And then, she was like just running her washing machine to like, remember, she was like, I don't even put laundry in. I just run it so someone thinks I'm doing laundry.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
It's like, girl, what? Like, I love that. She just was like, I'm not going to put clothes in. I was like, it's one more step. Like, it's the easiest like chore. Laundry is the easiest chore. Like, oh, she's insane. Yeah.
God damn. No. Yeah. I was thinking about, okay, well, in the vein of the male role of raising kids and like teaching them to do shit or whatever. Yes. Dave, I think.
Is that the Alabama dad?
The Alabama dad.
Okay.
Last name of that family was like Cameron, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And the wife's name was Teresa.
Okay. Yes.
Alabama. They're all about discipline. The dad was pretty cute, I thought.
I love that. I agree. He is significantly older than Teresa. I was gagged by that a bit. It was awesome because I kept looking at him and being like, hang on, like maybe that's the grandpa. And then I was like, no, that's the father of her children. I love it. They seemed really happy.
The journey that we go on with Dave is so beautiful.
It really is. Like, yeah.
I think Ro and Dave really like steal the whole episode.
They totally do.
Like when it goes back to Teresa and Jay together.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched. I like was good, but I was waiting. I was waiting for Ro and Dave.
Yeah, for like a teachable moment. Yeah, because Ro and Dave really got somewhere. Like they got to the heart of what I think wife swap is about, which is like taking lessons from, you know, the family you swap with and imparting them onto yours. And they really, I feel like they achieved that. I like Dave, the dad from Alabama. He was really horny too, like for his wife, which yes. I thought was romantic. He just kept being like, I can do everything a younger man can. I love to fuck my wife, basically. I was like, yeah.
Yes, I'm trying to remember awesome. How he phrased it.
He said something like, crazy.
When I can get a woman going my way, that really does me good or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. It was literally that. And it was, yeah, it was just like the look on his face. I was like, I believe him.
Oh, man. Mm. Crazy, horny.
True. Yeah. Iconic.
Super
iconic.
Southern.
Yes.
And
love to see it.
I don't know. He seemed like good hearted.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I respected the Alabama family. They weren't as like, I mean, they didn't have like the panache of like Ro, but like the mom, I liked Teresa. She was just a little intimidating because she was like no nonsense for sure. Like when she's touring, like going through the house in Jersey and she's like looking at their decor and they have one of those like bowls with like decorative wicker balls or something. And she's like, why do you need these balls? We don't have room for balls on our table. And I was like, okay, it's like just a ball. I don't know.
Yeah,
she was like very incensed by that.
No way. I remember that scene. It was like something that stuck out because like you don't have room for a centerpiece.
I was like, what are you talking? We don't have room for balls. I was like, okay, cool. Oh my God. Yeah. So she was intense. She and Jay did not, I feel like they didn't like have a meeting of the minds so much, you know. I feel like Ro and Dave like laughed and cried and you know what I mean, like
right.
they had a
they
real they were fighting, like scream fighting. It was amazing.
Agreed. Yeah. agreed. He threatened to flush one of the baby dolls down the commode.
Yeah. And then but then when he kind of like leaned into it caring for the doll, it was kind of sweet because he like was like nice to the doll. But yeah, it was kind of, I don't know. There's like a lot to unpack with that. And I like how part of the issue was like, he doesn't like show affection to his sons. He like doesn't say, I love you. Or he's just like, goodnight, like whatever. And Ro was like, you need to cradle these children.
It stuck out when she was like, I don't know what I would have done without my father's hugs.
And I was like, I can tell.
I don't know what I would have done with them.
Period. Ugh, literally.
She was like, because you never had them. He was like, yeah.
Duh. He's like, I right. know. I don't right. care. Yeah.
I loved when she told him to sing a lullaby to Emma.
Yeah.
The fake, what were the baby dolls called? Nicole
Reborn?
Again?
Yeah.
The Reborn.
Yes.
Yeah, the baby so with creepy. The like fake spine and the real flesh and the, or the real spine, should I say? I don't even remember.
Real spine.
And then. Right, the real spine and the hair is sewn in one hair at a time.
Yeah, she kept talking about the sew-in hair, yeah.
And he's holding this cursed, like, thing in his hands. And anyway, she makes him sing a song, and he's like, there goes the mountain, there goes the tree, I'm gonna cut it down and fall on me, and you. And, like, I was like, what the hell is that?
It rocked! I know, I was like, are you improvising this or is it a song? I loved it, yeah.
It was good.
It was
he nailed
iconic.
It.
Yeah.
And then he switched to this, it. Like, I'm a pilgrim, mm-hmm. I'm a stranger. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God damn. Like,
he's really
the
slow,
range
yeah. I know.
On this man.
It was moving, yeah. I, yeah, that was just, and I mean,
Well, wait, okay, wait. And then when Rogue first gets to their house in Alabama and she's just walking around the backyard and she starts screaming, she's like, what is that? It's a cat. It's like their cat. And she's like, oh my God. She's like, I thought it was a creature. It's like, girl, it's just a house cat. Like she's like, I don't like being outside. It's awesome.
And she saw a mushroom in the yard. she was like, is that a mushroom? Oh, it might be poisonous. And like ran away.
It's like, girl. She really represented New Jersey, I think, in a way that I would be proud of if I was from New Jersey. I mean, yeah, it's iconic.
There were a couple parts that, like, gagged me about just subverted expectations with the Alabama family being the owners of a coffee shop.
I know, and that was, like, her dream. Teresa's dream is to run a coffee shop.
And Teresa, I've got to call her out. As much as she was on Jay about indulging his family, her husband has been indulging her dream.
I know.
But the ethos behind Dave doing it is that hard work should be rewarded. And if we work hard, this will be fruitful. It's like a very earnest, sincere, good-hearted assumption.
Sure, totally.
That if you... We're throwing our butts against the wall over here. I don't think it's right that a family or even one person, and because he's not making money, and I'm like,
no money.
Off. Like he like was like giving like workers' rights. He was giving like
period
activist care for me.
Yeah, he's giving in his child labor. Like he's making the kids work, but it's teaching them a good lesson. Even if the coffee shop isn't profitable at all, at least it's like for the greater good, kind of. You know?
Yeah, I feel like it's just this like simple brain thing of like, if I get up and exert myself.
Yeah, if I wake up at 5 a.m.
I did it.
Uh-huh. And I was kind of like, I guess they do need to wake up. I was just really kind of shocked that it was a coffee shop that she loved so much or was so fixated on having.
Right.
So I was just like, and don't they have a hot dog stand too?
Yeah, they've had
and
both.
And that was more lucrative, I think. The hot dog stand did a little better than the...
Yeah, that just wasn't her dream.
No, but I mean, you know, that coffee shop, it was like stressing me out. They were just like, we can't like keep the electricity on sometimes. And I was like, this is bad. Like, I feel terrible.
What's her name? Ro was like, what's a latte? What's a cappuccino?
Yeah, she's like, what's cappuccino? I was like, I know you know, bitch. I was like, you, girl, it's like so easy. It's like, she's not like having to like bake something. It's just like, turn on the machine. I don't know. She's great.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah, and then her kids in New Jersey, it was really just that oldest one that was kind of a trip, the, like, 19-year-old who just, like, lives at home still, and they make him wear the hot dog costume at the end, and he has to, like, work at the hot dog stand. Yeah, he didn't have, you know, any work ethic, obviously, but...
Yeah, I had to think that, I don't know, there was obviously somewhere in the middle that could have been met. Which I guess is the point of the show, that, the family with no discipline will learn some structure, and the family with no play will learn how to hug their kid and
I thought it was sweet. Yeah, I thought it was sweet when she had the party, and he was like, I'd do this again in a heartbeat. I was like, yay.
It was so cute.
It was really cute. He had, like, had fun. I also love, my favorite part was at the end when they all meet up to kind of talk it out, like, what was your experience swapping? And Ro has, like, a meltdown. Like, she, like, runs into the, like, lawn, and she's, like, screaming and, like, just freaking out. And I was like, I bet she does that all the time. Like, it looked like it came very natural to her.
And you know what? Like... I understood how she felt and how she got there.
Sure.
And I feel like the real blame lies with the fact that Teresa and Jay didn't actually get deep enough about it.
They didn't. That's very true.
Teresa had good insights and gave advice, but then it was not received correctly, and he took it too literally and just kind of went in without... integrating it. It was too quick of a switch.
Right.
And it just caused like a shock.
Totally. Well, and he didn't like implicate himself at all, which Teresa kept being like, no, you're part of the problem because you like permit this and stuff, and you're like an enabler. And he didn't say that to Ro. He was just like, you're like spoiled or whatever. And so she just like flipped out. But that was like, that was intense to watch. I was like, this is awesome. She's really just like freaky. He was just kind of like, Jay, I didn't have any respect for him because I was like, you are just like a, he's like a part, he's not even a participant in his like life or his house. He's kind of just like there.
I don't know. What did he do for work? He just like,
I couldn't get that because I was like, you guys have a lot of money, but what does he do? Like,
I feel like that was a time where just being like, oh, this man sits at a computer was like a unique like, enough kind of visual to make us think of something.
Yeah, he's like a home office. It's like, oh, of course. Okay.
Right, like, right.
Of course
right.
They're rich. Yes, I see. Yes. I see. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those. Do you know what year that was? Season 6, episode 1? What year was that?
I couldn't really tell. 2010.
Okay, it looked like it. She was kind of ahead of the curve then with those Reborn dolls because those are a huge thing now, and they have been for a long time, but she really was on that collection way back when, so.
Oh, I did not realize that.
What?
That they were popular.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Reborn doll. I mean, it's a major thing now. Like, women do YouTube. They make the Avatar kind, too. Like, Avatar babies, like Navi babies. Those are really cute, but like,
oh wow,
it's
holy
creepy.
Shit.
Yes, but she like, I don't think people had like rooms of them like that back then. I think she was really kind of a trendsetter with that, because so it must have seemed really weird when she was doing it back then.
She had her finger on the pulse.
She really did. She really did. Yeah,
the literal iconic. Pulse of her fake children,
of her spinal children or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, adrenochrome facility. Like,
oh, and it was so funny when Teresa had to like, I like how part of her like schedule every day was like playing with the dolls, like dressing the dolls, and she was so upset by it. She was just like, I'm just playing with these dolls. She was like, I don't need to be like, who does this? It was so funny. Oh, just really suffering. Yeah. It was wild.
Totally. Yeah. I know I have more thoughts, but yeah. I feel like they'll just come up naturally.
For sure.
There's a lot to get to today.
Yes.
I have this idea where I'm going to be sharing some perspective on Mississippi, and I wanted to kind of go through it in a way that was intentional, and I decided to look at it by county, and I did a deep dive just on the first alphabetical county, which was Adams County. Also happens to be, I think, the first county that was formed in that state.
In Mississippi, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, in Mississippi. And then Isabel has also done some research.
Yep, on Alameda, which is the first alphabetical county in California. And it's Oakland is in there. And I was born down, like, up there. So it worked out nicely.
That was such a coincidence. Like, I know. I feel like it worked out really
it did.
Well.
I just, like, knew a lot of... I mean, like, I did research and stuff. But, I mean, I just know about the place having, like, lived there and stuff. But, yeah. And I don't know anything about Mississippi. And I don't know anything about Adams County specifically. So that's cool to learn about.
So Adams County, the only city inside of it is Natchez.
Okay.
And Natchez used to be the capital of Mississippi before it was Jackson.
Oh, wow.
It's right by the Mississippi River. It's okay. Like a stone's throw away from Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
Gosh. So it's in 1860, it was the richest county. Adams County was the richest county in the country.
Whoa.
In the entire United States.
Okay, wow.
Because of slave labor. 100% because of slave labor.
Forgot about that important fact. Okay, that makes sense.
No, literally, I had I don't know. I feel like I went around the world looking at the history of this one place.
That's so cool.
Because it was in a mixture of like Spanish, Native American,
yep,
British,
ooh,
and French,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
at the beginning, and then once it became America, obviously the like slavery part wasn't cool, but I mean, goddamn, it's crazy.
Melting.
The war, the Civil War,
yeah,
was also like really fucked up, the shit that happened, like, in that city. And well, actually I should clarify that it wasn't actually that bad in Natchez, the violence from the war.
Okay.
Because they were basically like, we surrender, like, y'all can come control this city, control this land, control this river. I just don't want you to kill my family, and I don't want you to destroy my like beautiful French Spanish home that like was built by slaves probably and has like just, you know, the best architecture at that time.
They were
just attached to all of those things.
Sure.
And so then the Union Army was in a much better position to then have a victory in Vicksburg, which was upriver from Natchez.
Okay, I've heard of that, I think, yes.
And then downriver from Natchez is New Orleans.
Oh my gosh, okay.
So it just basically goes like right, bing, 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 like New Orleans, Natchez, and Vicksburg.
Cool.
And I learned that New Orleans was, right before the Civil War, the city with the most slaves, I believe, and then followed by Natchez.
Oh my gosh. And is Adams County big? Like, is Natchez like populous? Like, is it, you know?
It used to be like more populous compared to the cities of the 19th century, but current day, no, nothing in Mississippi is populous because our economy is shit and we are for years have been the poorest state in the country.
Wow.
Unless West Virginia possibly sometimes is like the other one dethroned, that comes in there. I'm not going to fact check that, but
no, I mean, I believe you.
More people live in Jackson. That's our capital now.
Right.
And pretty much like the trend for the most part of land that used to be filled with plantations is that it is where our poverty is the most intense.
Not
where
surprising.
Our health crisis is the most intense and just extremely behind the rest of the country in terms of just people just dying for things that you wouldn't die of anywhere else in the country because there's not a hospital close to you.
No.
There's not a grocery store close
to
you.
It's a food desert. Yeah, yeah.
Which is so ironic because it's like where all of the food used to be grown. Well, not food, but whatever, you know.
But like crops. Things, how you make stuff. That's crazy.
Because it was like cotton and sugar cane mainly. But now instead of being like the richest part of the country, not that, I don't know. Like, I feel like I always have to do like a land acknowledgement slash like acknowledge that when we were the richest, it was the result of slave labor. Like,
it's true.
Just completely that was the reason. Yeah. I mean, obviously the land was fertile and that had to do with it. And that's why those decisions like, I don't know, that like evil math was done in the first place was
to
get as much out of extremely fertile land at the time that they could.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's just, I don't know. It's interesting because it also like switches back and forth between Louisiana and Mississippi. The river, it forms ridges along it here and there, just like hills.
Okay.
And the hills, in Arkansas are on the west side and then they go back to the Mississippi side when they get, you know, further south and then they go to the Louisiana side back into Mississippi. But and then on the other side of the river will be flat. Okay.
Okay.
So the flat part is where the crops are grown. It's called the Delta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then like at least in the Natchez area, the flat part was on the Louisiana side.
Oh.
So that's where the farms actually were located when the plantation home would be in Natchez. It was actually Louisiana's land.
Wow.
That
is crazy.
Had their farm in because they just wanted to build their like beautiful antebellum home. I guess they wouldn't call it antebellum because they didn't know that it was before the war, but whatever. If I'm really putting myself there, like they would call it our beautiful
home. Our beautiful home,
Right. So I really just have not even like touched the surface of the amount of things that I learned about their beef with Vicksburg because like Vicksburg to this day looks at Natchez like y'all fucked us over.
Wow.
Like
Civil War wise or like?
Yeah. Okay. Apparently, I didn't know this, but I just from doing research this past week mm-hmm. and talking to people that are from different parts of the state, I have learned that to this day, people from Vicksburg kind of look at Natchez like, okay, so y'all have all of this great antebellum architecture around, but it's because y'all surrendered without a fight
while
Vicksburg fought to the death and, you know, were like eating rats and like lost their homes and shit.
Yeah.
And then I guess they were not as committed to protecting themselves. They were not as self-preservationist.
Yeah.
So that they could defend the fucking Confederacy.
Right.
Was their logic.
Sure.
And then Natchez was like, I'd rather just defend my home and my family.
And my family. That's so interesting.
Right.
Wow.
And then after the freaking war, the shit that the... Because obviously, like, you might want to think, oh, great, the war ended suffering for all of these people that were enslaved. But there were literal, and I am not shitting you, there was like a literal concentration camp in Natchez, Mississippi.
Oh my God.
Administered by the Union on formerly enslaved or still enslaved, but technically emancipated people that were literally like, and not to sound like a fucking, like, I don't even know what to call, like, this, like, genre of Mississippian that is, like, oh, like, they were begging to go back to the plantation, like, kind of thing.
For sure.
And in this case, they were, because they were just begging to not be in a concentration camp, you know what
That's
I mean?
That's insane, like, of course, yes.
And so another, like, Civil War thing that lives on in that area is... people know not to eat the peaches in this like ridge part of the land that you can't even really get down there. It's like they called it the Devil's Punch Bowl, and it's because that's where they like because Natchez kept all of their buildings intact.
Yes.
After the war caused a lot of, you know, destruction throughout the other parts of the state.
Yeah.
A lot of people, after the war was over, migrated to Natchez. That includes a lot of just freed slaves that are seeking something.
Right.
And they go to Natchez where, you know, things weren't as bad. And then the people in charge at Natchez are terrified, and they throw them all into that devil's punch bowl.
Oh my God.
And just literally, they just die of diseases starvation.
Oh my God.
And when they had dead bodies, they would just give them a shovel and say, put it under the dirt.
And oh my God.
It's like a mass grave of like, an estimate said 20,000.
Oh my God.
People.
Whoa.
And that's like, not even to talk about the native like aspects of Mississippi,
Jesus.
Which both Mississippi and Natchez are native terms. Like they are Native American culture.
For sure.
Natchez is like a tribe that lived there.
Yeah.
The French Indian War involved the Natchez.
Okay.
Like so much of Mississippi history is based in like Choctaw and Chickasaw and Natchez foundation. Like that land was fully occupied for like thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But blah blah blah. I'm gonna like focus on this the best I can, but I mean, there's just so much to say.
That's crazy.
So basically people don't eat peaches from Natchez because it's fertilized with despair.
Literal burial ground on burial ground. That's crazy. That's so
I ate an edible and I was reading some shit and I just kept finding more disturbing things. At first, Jesus. I was like intrigued, and then it just became this pit, like of that I was just I couldn't stop looking.
It's like so dark. Yeah.
And so I guess that's just a little bit about Adams County.
Jesus. Yeah, I mean, that is fascinating.
It's truly the site of what used to be the richest county in the country, which is now in the poorest state in the country. That also featured a concentration camp.
It's like a you can argue slavery itself is a genocide, but that specifically is so crazy too, and no one talks about like that, like, because the 20,000 is a lot of people,
and
fucking horrible.
You could see people saying it for both our sides of the argument or whatever, mm-hmm. that no one talks about it because it's a, you know, genocide of Black people, and that's
right.
a slight of just not wanting to talk about that part of our history,
sure.
which is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
And then also you can say, oh, no one talks about it because it makes the North look evil.
That's, well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. And that's, it ain't that the way half the time, you know what I mean? It's like, it's maybe different parties doing it, but it's the same outcome of like the same
right.
group of people it's getting like, completely obliterated. Like, yeah.
Like, yeah, of course, can you say that defeating slavery is a noble cause for the Union? Yes. And then what did they do? They like had a concentration camp to get rid of the slaves because they didn't want to deal with that. Like,
no,
like,
and like,
they were like controlling Natchez. They didn't want to, like, they didn't have the resources. They didn't
see them as
anything.
People, I'm sure. Yeah. And it's like,
right.
that's why Reconstruction was such a shit show. It was like people were, it's like what you were saying, where I'm not saying they were worse off than they were in slavery, but it's like the rug is ripped out from under you. And there's like, now there's just no answer for like what should be done about it. And
I mean, it wasn't
so fucked.
I mean, it's like war, you know what I mean? It's like fucking war.
I can't believe that happened. The Civil War, I'm like so fascinated by, because it truly is like, it's just so surreal kind of that it mm-hmm. happened, and that it, and like here, you know,
I feel like I am just at the beginning of a long obsession with doing research about the shit that's gone down.
Especially living in the South, you're just kind of like,
right.
there's so much history there, and so many like graves, like of everybody that died. It's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
It's mind boggling. Cause I feel like I've learned, I don't know. Okay. Do you know the Bachelor host, or do you know anything about the Bachelor?
Not like the recent iteration. I've really never watched it much, but I think I could extrapolate, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know who hosts it though currently.
I actually don't know his name, but I like learned this gossip. He stepped down / was fired because he defended a girl who participated in like one of these old South themed balls or like fraternity.
Like like a part, like, I mean, yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
Right. She was just photographed in, old Southern style attire and with like pretty trees in the background or something.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I just remember being so confused why he got fired, because I went to college with a frat that did that party. They went to the plantation and had a party every year.
Wow.
And yes, it was an all white frat, and
they would
invite girls, and they would go and dress up and and be
like
gentlemen,
a cotillion
or whatever.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's like, I do understand, actually. I like can't believe this is the like media friendly take that I'm bringing to my podcast right now. But like, I do understand why people get so upset by that imagery.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But I also feel like there's just so much to think about with what that really does mean.
For sure.
Like, it means all of the bad things, but it also just is history.
It is. I don't know how to even literally say what history. I'm trying to say. No, I know what you're saying. And I also feel like it's worse to like sweep it under the rug and never, yeah. I don't know, and just kind of act like it didn't, when it's like, no, you should kind of be thinking about it all the time. Not like in a crazy way, but just like, it is just literally a part of like, that's why United States is so complicated. Cause it's just like, that's kind of the legacy mm-hmm. amongst other things, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. It is complicated. I don't know. I really don't know what to say about it. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I feel like I had gone back and forth on that topic about mm-hmm. The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And that man so many times. But
yeah, I'm just generally like, not to make a blanket statement, I never like when people get fired for shit like that, just because I'm like, it has no impact on his ability to host The Bachelor, you know, or whatever.
For sure.
Like, you know, but I understand like the, yeah, I don't know. And also frats, I mean, frats are just, there's really something that appeals to people about doing something like kind of insensitive. You know what I mean? Like there's always some theme they do that is just like, kind yeah. of, and very and poor like, taste.
Yeah. And that's why it's fun.
Yeah. That's like part that's of the vibe. Like,
right. And if it was not taboo, like they're not getting together and dressing right. like the founding fathers.
No, that, because that would be so lame.
That would be the lamest thing ever.
Mount like, Rushmore ass party. Yeah, that would suck. Yeah.
Right. Like they're putting on like goofy hats and puffy dresses and yeah. like doing dances under billowing magnolia trees mm-hmm. while like drinking
Gone
whiskey.
With the wind ass. Yeah, like mint julep.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's also like, but that's what's like, that's what's crazy about the South is that it I think maybe this is kind of like what you were saying. It's like, it is a part of like the history of the culture of the South. Like it, right. it's like those houses, some they're still there, or like, you know, people, mm-hmm. people still do like debutante stuff where you are kind of like, it's like, I feel like it's a historical tradition of like mimicking Southern balls and stuff. And like,
oh yeah,
whatever.
Both of my sisters participated in debutante balls.
Oh my gosh. That's so crazy. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
And I, you know, I was with one of them was wearing the full like crazy
yes.
cropped tuxedo, like
yes.
Kylo with the gloves, and was like Oof. Escorting,
love it.
Presenting her to society.
Wow.
It's yeah. just, the shit that goes down
yeah.
when you're down
and,
here. I
and
don't
it's,
know.
It's tradition. I don't know. I mean, I yeah, I get it. I think it's, that's why it's complicated. Yeah. It's crazy.
Ugh. I don't know. It's strange. It's strange.
It
but
is. Yeah.
I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah. Did, have you
Adams
been to
County,
yeah have you been to Adams County though, like I mean, is that a, I don't know, I don't really know like how, you know,
yes not okay. often,
okay,
it's not too far,
okay,
I would like to go more.
Is there a lot
I'd
going
like
on
to,
there or like anything or like these days?
Well, I think it's cool to just be like next to the river, but
sure,
I think like the downtown area is very much just like cutesy HGTV like
totally.
Renovations
yes.
of like historic town squares
right
to put in like stupid little, or sometimes they're cool, there's probably a lot of like antique shops that are probably
oh, yeah.
cool
I
to
bet
check
that
out
crazy yeah,
but also like, you know, stores that just sell plants and are there for like
yes.
you know, like I'm not hating on this plant
no,
stores.
No, no.
It's just
no.
like a very specific.
I
like,
know what you mean. It kind of feels like a fake store, or like you know, stores where you're like, how does this really like turn a pro? Like how, like, you know, it's just kind of there, like
yeah,
just to
yeah.
wander for people to wander into. You know, yeah,
right. Just sort of the
like aesthetic.
Like a, it's like a Teresa and Dave
exactly.
Can't like their sort of. Alabama ass
totally.
Coffee shop.
Yeah.
Except
it's like, we just want one.
Yeah. They'll be like, I just want a store.
Yeah. I don't know what
specializes
to do.
In selling this niche thing. Not
yeah,
that a coffee shop
holders.
Is that.
No,
but yeah.
I mean, but if you're in the wrong location and you're not doing what the people want, it's like, it is just like, not a vanity project, but it is just like your little hobby that you like, but it's not lucrative at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Damn. But no, I'm not from there, but
yeah.
That's basically the vibe.
That's so crazy.
I have also sort of envisioned a mock-up family that currently lives there.
Yes.
To potentially
yes.
compare to
yes.
a California alternative.
Yes.
So I am playing up on some interesting statistics about Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
We are the state with the highest percentage of Black people.
Sure.
In the country. Yeah. We are the state with the highest percentage of... Okay, so within the same-sex couples that are in our state, mm-hmm. higher percentage of those of that population is apparent right. than any other
That's state. Wild. That's so cool. So, like more same-sex couples have children in...
Right.
Like, right. Wild.
And there's a specific way to understand that, because also a huge chunk of the same-sex parents in Mississippi are also parents who got pregnant before they turned 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
So unplanned gay parenthood.
That's amazing.
By way of biological childbirth that is then followed by a lesbian relationship. And it's a very Black lesbian thing.
That is a very specific... That's crazy.
It is. It's just sort of... The vision I'm painting through statistics is a vision of a Black mother who was pregnant mm-hmm. and then ended up in a lesbian relationship and is, you know, taking care of the kids with another woman that is her partner. Mm-hmm. And they got a whole family of five, but they're both like 22.
Oh my gosh, totally.
And they all just like to do TikTok dances in their yard.
Yes.
That's basically like what goes on.
I love that.
Over here nowadays.
I can see that so clearly. Yeah, that's amazing.
There actually are like low-key like lesbians everywhere.
That's awesome. That's who would think, you know, it's like that's quite, I mean, there's a lot of lesbians obviously in Alameda County too. So yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah, because it's like the Bay Area. So it's, big time. Like, you know, I mean,
well, just like gay, but like, yeah.
Lesbians. Because there's a lot, because like UC Berkeley is in Alameda County, like Berkeley, the town is. So there's just, you know, I feel like it's, whenever you go, it's like a lot of like beautiful, happy lesbian couples with like, you know, children from in vitro or whatever, anything, you know, like all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, what are the chances that we both also chose, like, to talk about this sort of lesbian parenthood thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a major thing, yeah.
You're born in Alameda County?
Well, Alameda, yes. And I was born in San Francisco, like the city, which is in San Francisco County. But like, mm-hmm. I don't know, you've been to California, yes? You've been to like LA and stuff?
Correct.
Okay, have you been to the Bay Area at all?
So this is where I've been. I've been to Los Angeles, San Diego.
Okay.
Mount Shasta.
Ooh.
And Sacramento.
Okay. Sacramento's the capital. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, I have not been to San Fran.
You would love it. I mean, like, I love it. It's my favorite city that I've been to other than New York, but I haven't also been to that many cities. It's my favorite city in California. So it's just kind of trippy because it's the kind of thing where it's like San Francisco County. Obviously, San Francisco is a big city, but then it's like, you just take one different kind of freeway and you're in Oakland, but Oakland is in Alameda County, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. they're like literally bordering against each other. And Berkeley is in Alameda County, and Berkeley is just like, they call it like the, what do they call it? I forget what bay they call it. I'm literally blanking on that. Anyways, it's, you know, all in the Bay Area per se, but it's like you are all of a sudden in Alameda County. So it's a very fine line between San Francisco County and Alameda County is what I'm saying, basically. Yeah,
I gotta say, like, I did not understand the county map for California.
Yeah,
where
it's weird.
Like, San Bernardino County is, like, as big as...
I know.
Like, other entire states.
Yes.
But San Francisco County is, like...
It's like
the
size just
of the city.
Yes, it's, like, just the city. It's the weirdest thing, too. I don't know how they determine that. And I feel like it must make certain things kind of a trip, like zoning and voting and stuff, because it feels a little arbitrary, and you'll find... Like, I didn't even honestly, I think I knew, but I didn't fully know until I started looking into it that Berkeley is in Alameda County, because it's just like not what you associate it with per se. But yeah, so it's, so I was born in San Francisco County, but that's, you know, it's like I was in Alameda County all the time growing up, because Berkeley is like obviously where the school is, and it's like San Francisco, but like a little bit cozier and like quieter. It's not remotely as much of a city. It's a college town, obviously, but it's also very just like beautiful architecture, like beautiful old homes, like big, like tree lined streets, you know, just kind of calmer, but in the last couple years, I don't know what's happened there. I think it's the housing crisis and the homelessness issue there has kind of gone out of control. And there's like a lot of meth usage I've noticed. So like whenever I visit, I feel safer in like San Francisco, the city at night. I feel safer there than I do in Berkeley, which is kind of a crazy thing to consider because Berkeley is theoretically like where people raise families and stuff. But these days, just because there's so much like, just like, I don't know, just inequality, like the rich are rich and the poor are very poor. And so there's a lot of people that live outside and a lot of people, there's just been like a lot of like random like murders in Berkeley, like stabbings or just like, just things that kind of happen out of nowhere, which is really sad. And that didn't used to be that way. It used to be a very safe community. And I feel like people associate Oakland, they think that's like the, literally people think it's like the ghetto, but it's obviously getting gentrified and stuff. And they're, it's not nearly the way it used to be. And I think now randomly Berkeley is where you will just like, it's the kind of thing where it's like you're walking and you will see someone who is like floridly psychotic, like screaming and spinning and like holding a screwdriver or something, just where you're kind of like, I don't want to like go on that side of the street, or like people on the public transit will do something insane, you know? So it's kind of like that. Okay. Yeah.
So you would say Oakland is not as bad as like the other areas in terms
of... I think it's still Oakland. So it's still gritty. It's just not as like well-funded historically, I don't think. And
right.
It's,
the,
you know,
the income disparities are coming
major.
Soon.
Oh
but,
yeah.
But they're not as like right next to each other as like the rich poor like polarity in
yes
maybe Berkeley where
exactly
the rich are very very and then yes. like Oakland it's the up and coming and then the people that have been used to being
totally
underfunded
and people who like yeah people who work and people who just like go to school and just do their shit every day. But like Berkeley, it's kind of a trip because it's, I don't even know how to explain it, but I feel like this is a phenomenon that exists a lot in California where it can kind of feel like they're making these little weird communities for the wealthy and the privileged in these cities. And you're supposed to kind of live in this like snow globe while you're there and pretend that there isn't like, you know, a billion homeless people right outside that, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So it's like tourists are milling about, everybody's having fun. Like people are like sightseeing and like getting ice cream and stuff. And then it's like down the street, some guy is like covered in blood, like screaming, you know what I mean? And you're supposed to just like kind of pretend that that's not happening, if that makes sense. So that's kind of where like the disparity and the kind of disconnect comes
yeah.
from, I think.
Some the striking visual horror is just not. I can see how we both have brought a lot of honest, hard truth
yes.
to this analysis of our failing country.
it's in every state, clearly, as we can say. It's the West, it's the South. I was reading about Alameda County. I kind of, you know, there used to be a city there, I realized, called Brooklyn in the 1800s, but now it's just a part of Oakland. So I can't really tell what that was. But I also found out that there was a really horrible earthquake there in Hayward, which is a town in Alameda County, in 1868, which was during the time that Pluto was in Taurus, incidentally. And I Googled what that means, and it means that Pluto and Taurus is supposed to mean that it's a time of stability and a time of like having a good foundation. And that's when they had like the worst earthquake ever. Yeah. And it like, it was the worst earthquake, I think, definitely in the Bay Area, maybe in California, until that other big one in San Francisco in the early 1900s. So that was they kind of lost everything. Yeah.
Okay. There must have been something else going on in the damn sky then.
Yeah.
Because.
Period.
Let's talk about the, Pluto and Taurus.
Yeah.
That year range was
yes.
also the damn Civil War. So right when y'all were getting started over there,
facts.
We were not like, damn, let me start that sentence over. people in Mississippi that existed before me.
yes. yes.
Were genociding like
yep.
Mass amounts of people. After their war victories.
Oof.
Girl.
It's crazy.
It's truly, like, how can all of that be, how can that be happening?
I don't know.
Like, in one part of the country, simultaneously, another state's like, oh, we're just getting started.
I know. We really were. Yeah.
We could have the most unfathomable tragedies happening in one state. Mm-hmm. And then in a different state, people are just like, hell yeah. Like,
panning for gold or whatever.
Yeah, we got some gold. Like, let's build a house. Like, not thinking about the genocide that's
not at all
in their country.
And you wouldn't even really know about it, because it's like, how would you know? Like, they're, you know, and it's that's right. What, America's so fascinating too, because that all just happened in the last several hundred years, because we're such a young country compared to other places.
Right.
So it's like, those are, you know, if our ancestors lived there, it's not even that far back in the lineage that they would, like, you know, like, experience all these insane things since this country's just been founded. It's fucking crazy.
I was thinking about the youngness of our country a lot also, because I don't know. And California is younger even in terms
so young. Yes.
Yeah. Continentally, one of the youngest for sure.
Yeah. It's very, I feel like it's very American that we're such a young country, but we've had so much horrible shit happen. We've, like, managed to commit so many atrocities in so little time. You know what I mean? Where it's like, and that's why it's like, whenever, you know, I went to France a couple years ago and I was just, like, bowled over by how old everything is. Cause it's like, oh my God, like, you've been here forever. Like, these buildings are so old. And then, like, you're here and it's like the oldest stuff we have is, like, when you go to, like, Boston or whatever. And you see, like, you know, stuff from, like, the first, you know, states that were whatever.
When you go to Natchez and see the old ass French architecture.
Yeah, that's, like, the oldest stuff we got. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. New Orleans and Natchez both have that French vibe.
Totally. I could see that.
Alameda County.
Mm-hmm.
I am wondering what put me in the shoes of just a family.
Ooh, okay. So I wrote some stuff down about this. I kind of focused on, like, the theoretical wife or mother, you know, that you maybe would find in Alameda County. I was picturing, so she's from the Central Valley of California, which is also partially where I was raised, which is, like, Fresno, which I don't know if you know anything about it. It's like hell on earth. It's like Bakersfield. It's just these, like, ugly, like, they're so ugly you wouldn't even know they were in California, because they're just, like, so pathetic to look at and just, like, smog and, like, ugly. I can't stop saying ugly. It's just the worst. So I would say, you know, a woman from the Central Valley who, I don't know if you saw the movie Lady Bird, but, like, it's about, you know, like, how she's in Sacramento and she hates it or whatever, and she, like, wants to get into the big city because she's like, you know, this town is so lame. It's like that vibe where you're, you know, you're from this ugly part of California and you want to escape. And then I picture her going to Mills College, which is in Oakland, which is where I almost went to college. It's a women's school. And she would, you know, try to be a lesbian, kind of not really carry it through, but just kind of experiment in college, obviously, and, like, major in creative writing, and then live in Oakland after graduating and, like, live in a co-op and have, like, a graffiti artist boyfriend and work for, like, Food Not Bombs. And then she would, like, clean up her act and get an internship at, like, a tech startup. And then she would marry the boss and have two children with him. And then she would buy a beautiful house in Berkeley with her tech startup husband and their two kids. And she would, like, shop at the same Whole Foods where she used to, like, steal wine from, you know? So I feel who I would picture.
I'm so in it. Okay, so she was stealing prior to marrying.
Yes, like, when she was still, like, being cool and, like, trying to, like, sow her oats in Oakland, you know, and be, like, kind of, like, a punk or, like, and be very, like, like, I do praxis. Like, I went to a women's college. Like, you know, I like, think we should all live in a, you know, polycule or whatever. But then as soon as she gets a taste of the high life, you know, she's like, okay, no, I'm just going to marry this guy and have his kids. And then I think, as a mom, she'd be like, you know, those people on, like, I don't know, I feel like you must have seen them on the internet, people that do, like, gentle parenting or whatever, where they, like, never, kind of like what Ro does on Wise, where, like, you don't say anything, you never tell your kids anything disciplinary, so they just kind of, like, walk all over you. I feel like it'd be that kind of vibe for sure. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How long was she sleeping with women before she found this man?
Well, so Mills, you know, if she went there for her whole undergrad, I would say she would, like, probably for the first year of going there, she'd give it a shot and, like, go to the frat parties at Berkeley and be like, oh, I'm going to meet a guy. And then kind of be like, wait, I, like, love this girl who's in my, gender studies class or whatever. And then kind of just, date women on and off. Because I'm not kidding. I know so many women like that. I mean, I went to a women's college when I graduated high school, and I was like for a while just going there because I just didn't know any men. I didn't see any men. I was like, I think I am a lesbian. But then like as time went on, I was like, I don't think I am. I'm not just a lesbian, but.
Well, yeah, it's like prison.
Exactly. That's how it felt. I was like, I just don't see any men. I don't even like know what to think. Like, yeah.
Okay. Period. Mm-hmm. I wonder how her husband got into what business model he came up with for his
could have
tech
been
company.
Could be anything. The things they do in the Bay Area with their tech is ridiculous. It's just like, you can't throw a stone without like seeing some stupid new like startup. And so much of it is like Google affiliated or whatever, or, you know, it's kind of horrifying. It's why you like can't afford to live there anymore, really, you know?
You know, okay. Not to make my own personal drama more important than the like homelessness problem.
Yeah.
But the worst thing that Silicon Valley did was convince people that certain career paths were adding value to society. And then when these companies run out of venture capital, like seed money,
mm-hmm.
and everything falls out mm-hmm. from underneath, you realize these things that you've been doing and getting this like false money for,
yeah.
it are not actually like contributing any value.
No, they're not valuable at all. Yeah.
And now the job market is like saturated with people mm-hmm. that have been laid off that are
yes.
like highly qualified,
yes.
but like actually have been doing a job that should not have organically existed if it wasn't
so
for this like Shark Tank money or whatever.
Yes.
People just betting on shit so they could
mm-hmm.
see their investments grow.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, fuck, like some of it worked, but.
I mean, it's rare. I feel like it's, you know, you can't just go all in and think, you know, throw something at the wall and hope it sticks. I mean, it's not like a sustainable model.
It's just disorienting
yeah.
as fuck to be like,
yeah.
oh, like that career path is no longer an option because the majority of people that used to do it have been laid off
yeah.
and have way more experience than I do to take the tiny number of jobs that are now available in that exact profession, because the profession is like,
yes.
what's the word for when an organ like isn't necessary, like your kidney or whatever?
Oh,
not your kidney,
ooh,
but
like vestigial.
Yes, thank
that's,
you.
Okay, yeah.
yeah, that's like
that's
these
so
jobs
true.
That
yeah.
exist, and I
yeah.
like want one, of course, but at the same time, you never know when it's going to get pulled out from underneath you.
It's terrifying to think about. I know. I hate stuff like that, and I feel like yeah, that is just becoming the norm, especially like in our age group of like young people trying to get jobs, you know, that are actually like, I don't know, meaningful or worth doing to yourself. And it's like, yeah.
Bruh. Okay. So let's play. I want to take the, okay. I guess the question I have to ask myself is my wife,
mm-hmm.
the woman who had the kids, or the woman
right.
who she's not the stepmom, but the mom who stepped
the mom
up.
That stepped up. I don't know. That's a good question. I wonder if you were like the producer of Wife Swap, what would be the more like interesting person to see go somewhere else, I guess. I don't know.
Right. I understand. I think it just makes sense to do the mother.
Yeah, because I mean that's how it is on like Wife Swap. It's obviously the mom.
Right.
Duh,
it's like mommy swap.
Yes.
At the heart
of
it
really mostly is. Yeah, cuz you're less of a wife than you are a mom on that show, cuz you like don't sleep in bed with the guy. I don't know. They should make you go like all the way and like you know.
Right, if we're going to make it about Wife Swap, but
yeah.
then like
go
do your wife shit.
Do your
yeah,
job.
Go,
yeah.
Go wifey. And I really did consider like a single parent option for.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
For this, but.
Yeah. I don't know if that.
I think
that, yeah.
This is in its own way sort of probably something that was a single parent situation, but then became
prior,
a lesbian
yeah.
situation because.
Beautiful.
The mom that stepped up.
She stepped up, yeah.
Stepped up.
Thank God. I love
right.
it. So the mother who had the children, does she like stay at home with them in your vision, or, and then what does the other mom do? Like,
so the mom that had the children has been she worked before, but she's been laid off at certain points. And you know what? She does have a like work from home customer service job where she helps people, gets a lot of contacts, those call center jobs.
Yeah.
She basically has like a call center job.
Cool. Gives and her time then, to, you know,
Yeah, exactly. She can be on the phone helping somebody with their, I don't know, their bankruptcy or something. No, I'm just kidding. With their...
Yeah, she's the number you call when you can't, like, get the form to submit online or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And, like, in the background, like, you can kind of hear a kid crying, but whatever.
She's, like, talking to them quietly, like, you know, Yeah.
Very sweet, very sweet. Good setup for somebody that's trying to hold real human babies and support their family at the same time.
Just a room of dolls,
The other mom, the mom who stepped up, is a CO, a correctional officer.
Oh, totally.
At the Adams County Prison.
Absolutely.
Which is the third largest employer in Adams County.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Second only to the public school system.
Huh.
And the, like, a health company. Anyway, not a ton of jobs in Mississippi in general. So there's not a lot of competition when it comes to companies with a lot of employees. It's like in a county, if you look at the company that has the most employees, it'll be like, we employ 600 people. That's like, damn. Like,
It's like, okay.
It's like, go to another state and that's such a mid number.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the biggest they can handle. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I could totally see that. It probably is a job with good benefits and stuff. And she can probably plan to retire at some point and stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah. You take the job you can get.
Oh yeah. And I mean, you know, it pays. Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's a little muscular. She's got a little bit of like a, like an energy to her where she wants to be on her feet. Yes. She wants, she can't sit at a computer all day.
No, probably couldn't be home with the kids all the time. Yeah.
Right. She's a little bit more the masculine part of their equation.
Their setup. She probably lays down the law a little bit with the kids, maybe, you know, more of the like good cop, bad cop thing, you know?
I think so too.
Yeah. Within
reason. Yeah. I don't know if our Mills College.
No.
Wife would handle that she, as well.
Yeah, no. I picture her, like I said, the gentle parenting shit. And then, this is such a stupid thing to reference. I don't know if you saw this. It's like this tweet that someone posted a while ago where it's like, oh my God, I want to die even reading it. It's just this person being like, there's like this little white girl at my kid's school and she's always bothering my swarthy, gender fluid child. And it's like, why are you describing your child as like swarthy and gender fluid? And like, you know, it's like a 6-year-old, you know what I mean? Where it's like, just relax. Like she's probably, the Mills College mom is probably like that, where she's like, you know, my kids are named like Serenity and like, they get to pick what clothes they want and they get to pick what toys they play with. And I don't even care. Like, you know, they can choose their whatever. Like it's, but it's so like affected and not organic whatsoever. She's like fully just wants to be perceived as like a cool forward thinking mom, you know?
I just have such a vision of gentle parenting and just being like, you hugged her and she did not tell you it was okay to hug her.
Yes, that exactly.
Did you ask
for
your daughter's consent before you approached her? Do you understand that you're teaching her that it's okay for other people to invade her personal space? Do you understand the implications?
Why are you talking to her like that? Yeah.
Of the way that you, I can like actually do a really convincing impression of like liberal woman crazy eyes, like that meme. I'm like,
That's really good. It's the eyebrows like, too. That's perfect. Yeah.
Just.
Yeah. Oof. 100%. Yeah. And just that kind of like, yeah, when they kind of make just normal things that you would do with children, they kind of make them sinister somehow, like for their own kind of like agenda where it's like, I saw this like meme about it where it's like, why did you pretend you got her nose? Like, what does that mean? What is a child supposed to think about that? Like when you do like magic tricks with children, or something, it's like, why are you lying to them? Like, how dare you like ruin her perception of reality? Like, it's so, it's just like, relax.
Yes. Pathologizing of
like that shit.
Meanwhile, actually being pathological in other ways that they could not identify in themselves.
Absolutely not. No, blind. Yeah. Yeah. Well, then, yeah, as
that's
a white swamp,
rough.
That would be, yeah. I feel like that would be, I mean, I can't even.
The CEO is just going to, I feel like she's just going to pick up overtime to stay with the prisoners so she doesn't have to be around.
She will fully like not sleep at home. She'll be like, I'm just going to like work a double. I don't know. Yeah. Like,
right. Fully. I'll literally just go sleep in the break room at prison.
Like, so much rather be at the prison. Yeah. And I feel like definitely the Mills College lady, she would be very just like painfully like, I don't know how to explain it. She would just be very, like, weird about the fact that it's, like, a lesbian couple, and she'd be very, like, no, I love this. Like, I think this is amazing. Like, I think you guys are, like, brave, like, or
whatever. Oh, my God.
You know?
Do you think she would bring up her stint at the women's college?
Yes. Absolutely. She'd be like, no, no, and, like, you know, she's like, I was young, you know, and then I met Aaron or whatever, you know?
Oh, my God.
It would be painful. It would be, like, a hard episode to watch, I feel like, of Wife Swap.
Oh, God. But, oh, my God. We would have to really edit and feature heavily the confessionals of the people's thoughts when they are just with the camera.
Mm-hmm. And it would be, like, I feel like the CEO lady would not have even much to say. It would just be, like, her face would say it kind of just, like, I just, like, just so tired and, like...
like.
Just immediately
this woman hits on me one more time,
yeah, just, like,
I swear to God.
I fucking, yeah, exactly. Just, like... yeah, and I feel like the kids wouldn't know what to do with her, you know, with the Mills College lady. They'd be like, who the fuck is this? Like, and she's also, I picture her, like, kind of on the younger side, you know? Like, her husband is probably, like, 44, and she's, like, 31, you know? Like, she, or, like, 29 even. She, like, got in there fast, had those kids with him.
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Mississippi mother that is in... Alameda County. Mm-hmm. What city is an Alameda County that we're setting this in?
I said Berkeley just because that's where Berkeley. I think they would have, you know, the beautiful house that I picture them in, et cetera, and the tech job, you know?
Okay. So then the Mississippi mom goes to Berkeley and she gets to sort of like luxuriate in the Mills College mother's skincare products.
Exactly.
And
shopping routine.
Like, get like smoothies every day and have help with the kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. They definitely have help.
And she's probably just going to be like taken care of and pampered.
Yeah, kind of vibing. I feel like she would hopefully love it. Yeah.
But maybe she'll see like a godlessness.
Definitely that, and probably like a godlessness and also maybe like a lack of love within the marriage, because I would think the dad just probably works a lot and isn't that, you know, involved, perhaps, but like involved in like an annoying way, like parents sometimes are with their kids, where he like has a lot of opinions about how the kids should be talked to at school or whatever, or what like violin lessons they need to take, but he's not like actually involved, you know.
I feel like she would not say to his face like what she really thought.
No.
I feel like she would implement changes in a subtle way by just sort of like finding back channels of power to give a child comfort when it needed it.
Totally.
And kind of just be like, I'm just gonna handle this right now.
Right.
I'm not gonna like fight to make this other man do what,
because he won't.
Yeah, to do what I can just do better anyway.
Fully, totally. Yeah, no, I could see that very... I feel like that's kind of how you should probably play the game on Wife Swap, because I feel like you're going to get through to the children possibly better than you will to the man sometimes, you know? But, yeah, no, and I think the kids of the Mills College mom, I think they would appreciate some structure. Like, they'd probably be a little... belligerent and uncooperative at first because they're used to getting their way all the time, but then I think they'd probably be like, oh, it's kind of nice to have like rules, like even just like calm, like just like, no, you should go to bed now, or like, no, you can't, whatever.
Right.
I'd probably craving, love it a little.
Like a limit on their screen time.
Yeah, because absolutely.
You need things taken away from you, like
yes,
we were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. They should file for bankruptcy, the children, yeah.
Yeah, right. You need things to be, like, you can't enforce the rules on yourself. You need the external structure.
Someone needs to come through. Yeah, absolutely.
It can't be your choice.
Right. Yeah, and I feel like it would definitely be the kind of vibe where it's like when the Mississippi mom gets back to her house after they like end the swap, she will be like, "What has happened?" Like it's been in just like disarray. Like I feel like the Mills College mom isn't gonna be cleaning. She's gonna have let the kids kind of like run amok. You know, it's just gonna be kind of like a shit show to return to, I would imagine.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. What a harsh return to reality.
terrible. Yeah, and the Mills College mom would be psyched to get back to her, you know, shopping and yoga routine.
Oh my god. Ugh. And just could not wait to tell everybody that she
every
could
other mom
possibly
yeah.
find about how cool she is for being in this
she
southern,
would say
like,
some shady
black
shit
lesbian home.
Yeah, and she'd be like, it is like a really impoverished area, but there are some really cute shops. Like they're kind of like up and coming. Like it's really like, yeah. Ugh, she would Fuck. Be so yeah. It's like bitch.
Fuck, she would have fallen so hard for the store that only sells plant holders.
Exactly. She would be up in there like every day. Like that'd be part of the routine. Like
God damn it.
Ugh, yeah. That's wild. That would be good. I think that it's too bad that can't just like exist.
I know.
They should do like fictional wife swap. They should, you know, where like you write a storyline like that, because that would be good.
We did the legwork.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone should buy it. Yeah.
It's on y'all now. Whew, that was a lot that we covered because we have the Alabama family.
Mm-hmm.
From season 6, episode 1 of Wife Swap.
Right.
And the New Jersey family.
Yes.
From the same episode. And the Berkeley family. And the
Adams
Natchez.
County. Yeah.
Adams County.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Good distinction. You know, I like realized, I guess the idea of counties is they are, there's no land in America that is not part of a county.
Right.
I think.
I think
exhaustive.
That's yes. I think that's, yeah.
Everyone has a county that they, or a parish, or whatever they're called.
Yeah, yeah.
In Louisiana,
like
they're
a
called
ward.
Parishes.
Yeah, okay. Isn't there, yeah, there's like certain, yeah.
No, I, yeah. I the ward yeah. is like another, it's like, a I thing. Think it's like a thing, right, for cities
we have
or whatever.
Like, we have a weird thing in the county where I live here in San, nope, I almost said San Francisco. That is not true. I live in like the central coast of California. So it's like a coastal town, like between LA and San Francisco, kind of near Santa Barbara. And we have like a weird thing where it's like kind of an unincorporated part of the county. It's not unincorporated, but it's like, they call it like five cities because it's just driving through it. It's like five cities all in a row. Like you just drive past one part of it and suddenly you're not in X city, you're in this city. And so it's kind of like, it's all one big stretch of stuff. So they call it five cities. But then there's also stuff where it's like certain towns in the county, they don't have their own police force. They just deal, like they have the sheriff deal with their stuff because they're like not even big enough to warrant like a police department there, if that makes sense. So it's kind of weird, but yes, they're all like part of the county. Yeah.
And it's strange that California has less counties than Mississippi.
Yeah. When you said that, it blew my mind.
87.
That's crazy. They must all be like, they must, yeah. I mean, some must be really small, right? Like,
yeah, they definitely are all, they're all about the same-ish size.
Got it.
It's just like it's like a little, like, it's like you took the jigsaw puzzle and put it on, like, the high difficulty level.
Totally.
With the tiniest puzzle pieces.
Totally, totally. It's a Tetris.
Right, and none of them are, like, nice shapes. They're all weird. Like,
yeah, just, like, jagged. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. Well, that's, yeah, and I feel like in California it's the opposite, where it's, like, big fucking counties that sometimes, you know, where it's like, yeah, it incorporates too much, where it's like, just make a new count. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
And, damn, I don't even know. I learned that it was actually good for the state when we had COVID vaccines being administered, that there were so many counties, because if you have to like go to your county for the, like, it's basically, okay, we have a lot of redundant employees. We have a lot of redundant public employees.
Sure.
Because you could have a staff of whatever X number of people managing like five of these counties.
Right.
In that like administrative way. That,
right.
But they're, each county has to have their own team of five now.
That's wild. Okay. Yeah, totally.
And so there's a lot of like jobs that sometimes probably have excess capacity, but then in like times like COVID or whatever, it's kind of like, oh damn, we have all of this extra infrastructure.
That makes sense.
Municipally, like, to handle certain things.
Totally.
And like, that was kind of just like interesting. And I mean, that shit, is like, at the least there's 87 offices where people can get damn jobs. Like,
hell yeah.
We that just add a few more counties.
Good. Yeah.
It's, let's, I mean, 90.
Yeah, let's make it 100. Yeah, it's like, fuck. Yeah.
More jobs.
Totally. I mean, that is like very true. Like, it is duplicative and like kind of bureaucratic to a point, but it's like people need a job, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. That does make sense, though. That is kind of an edit. Yeah, because I mean, like, in my county where I live now, it's a pretty big county. So you might have to drive, you know, from one end of it to the other to go to your doctor or whatever. And that's not feasible for everybody. So.
Right. If we could have like good grocery stores and a hospital in every county.
Seriously, they should work on that. Yeah, that would be, that's something to, you know, work towards.
Yeah, I agreed. We'll see. People just love watching us suffer, though.
That's so fucked. I've definitely heard that about Mississippi and the poverty level and stuff. So are you like, were you born there? Like,
I was born. So in a suburb of the capital, which is Jackson,
yeah.
And my city is Madison.
Oh, cool.
And been here. Well, okay, I was born here and then I lived here for 22 years.
Okay.
Until in the same, well, in like two different cities if you include my college town.
Oh, okay, work.
And then I don't know. I guess the point I was making is like people see bad things happen to Southerners or anyone in red states, and they just love to be like, haha, that's what you get for being Republicans or whatever.
I cannot stand that. I actually can't stand that. No, it's like, well, I think I wrote something down about the Mills mom in that vein too, where it's kind of like, yeah, like she would definitely have some type of opinion about the South and act like mm-hmm. it's because she's like tolerant or liberal or whatever, but it's like, no, you're just like being elitist and like a dumb bitch and like you just like don't, you know. But no, people are really, and that, I mean, I know a lot about that living in California, because I think that's a very, you know, we're obviously a blue state and shit, and yeah, I just can't stand that kind of rhetoric, because it's like, it's just like, okay, that's not, like, we literally all live in America, like, what?
Right, and like, another interesting thing about Adams County is that they've voted Democrat every single election since 92.
All those lesbians, maybe, you know? Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Like, so many parts of Mississippi. Well, yeah, I mean, all the black people, like, because we have many of them.
Yeah.
Like, as a proportion of our population, there's a lot of Democrat voters. It's course. Like, you know how Georgia went blue recently?
Yeah.
Similar situation. It's like the black vote in the South.
Totally.
And that's just, hasn't happened in Mississippi to where we've
gone
as a state gone blue. No.
Do you think that'll happen, or could it ever? I don't know. It's hard to speculate. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. But it's also like, I'm so jaded and like, I'm so sick and tired of like living in Joe Biden's America that it's like, I'm so like, I don't even like vote. That's like fucked up. I vote like locally.
I don't either.
But I don't like fucking voting is out, frankly.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it.
There's no way in hell I'm doing it. And I live in California. It doesn't even matter, like, presidentially. But yeah, like, locally, I guess that's, like, a different story. But, like, no, it's, I'm just, it, I don't like being lied to. And it's, like, I'm being lied to.
Yeah, I know. It's, like, I'm like, going to my high school brain of being, like, Mississippi can go blue. And then, like, remembering my, like, present day brain that's, like, oh, fuck. Like, wait, hold on.
No, I'm, like, here's how Bernie can still win. Like, yeah, like, me in college, canvassing and shit. And it's, like, no, girl, it's over. Like, just shut. God. I just don't give a, it's just, it's so fucked. I don't want to be, like, jaded like that, but it's, like, there's no other way. I don't know.
It's just going to depend on the planets and the stars.
Totally. I mean, that's, like, another... Yeah, maybe I'll vote if they start incorporating like that into the, I don't know, the rethoric,
Right, if you bring a tarot reader.
Yeah, tell me who to vote for,
Get rid of the moderators.
Well, you know, like Nancy Reagan, like, you know, when she was, when Reagan was in the office, she consulted her astrologer every day. And that was like kind of how she would like advise him a little and be like, well, maybe you should think about this. And it was like, okay, that's kind of, wow.
I need to study the Reagan administration more.
Oof, it is a, there's a lot to unpack, obviously.
Right. I feel like I can't even start right now.
No, but it's like, so that's another, you could do like a, deep dive on that. And
honestly, I could. Well, and somebody was saying that it was something that happened under Reagan that allowed a lot of illegal immigrants to become citizens. And I literally was like, wait. Like Reagan? Like Ronald Reagan?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I have to figure out what that's about because...
No, I think that so many things are like that. I feel like I've heard that too, where it's like, well, it's like how, I mean, like, how Obama, like, did the worst shit to, like...
Deportations were, like, the worst under Obama.
Yeah, drones, obviously. Yeah, all of that shit. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you'd be surprised. And I feel like things were just looked at so differently, and it was, like, a different world in the 80s, literally, than the one we live in now. Like, it's crazy.
Right. The Union troops were... like the worst committers of genocide
exactly
all
you never
of
know
the Civil War like against freed slaves like, it's like damn that was your plan
that was your plan yeah it's like y'all will do the same thing if you have the opportunity it's crazy
man I really could go on go on it's just a lot of like crazy shit to piece together. I mean, and like, yeah, I think the common denominator, whoa, that came out with a little extra seasoning on it. But is that, fuck, I sound like such a libtard. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Mississippi is like simultaneously making me a right-wing truther and a libtard at same time.
I feel like that's the only way to really live and to like have kind of your eyes open is like two things are true because I am like a bleeding heart libtard just like inside deep down especially on certain things but then I also am like a total like truther
and it's I don't know like I love the details of nuance but it is not something that you can like succinctly process into a worldview
absolutely that's why voting is fucked too because it's like it's not one part I don't have one thing I'm loyal to it's like
totally that's a good fucking point but I mean I think it's just complicated if you're trying to figure out if the North or the South is like more virtuous.
Yeah.
That's where I can really be a truther.
Yes.
But then also be like, it was all white people that were doing the bad shit. And
I mean,
like, make it like, if we're going to keep it to be simple and succinct, you could just say that.
Yeah, exactly. Cause that transcends North or South. It's just,
You
got like, born white, so you're going to be a fucking, like...
Right, or, like, if you won some war from before the Civil War, like, if you won some battle and you're from, like, New Jersey or New York or Pennsylvania, you'll be like awarded this extremely valuable land as a reward.
Well, yeah, it's like being the firstborn son or something even too. It's like certain things were just allotted you like the right, like you just luck out, like
for sure. Yeah. And then like you're okay, so you're let's say 1700s leaving Pennsylvania or New Jersey to go to this new land where where the richest part of the country is, the best like fertile land in the country is now like something that you own part of, and what do? You buy like 100 slaves and like
and now you have people to work it forever.
And in a century, like, or I'd say even just less than that, because they don't have too much time before Civil War comes through, but in this like example, eventually they become, they think of themselves as Southern, but like, where do you make that distinction of like, oh, like you actually were in New Jersey like a few years ago, but now you're Southern.
Stuff like that.
And you're the ones that are like owning the plantations.
Yeah. Like, it's like kind of mind boggling. Isn't that like what carpet bagging is or whatever? It's like people who like moved down there and kind of just like pretended or like adopted the stuff of being Southern without actually having any like basis there.
It's crazy to think about. I don't.
I think that's what that is. But
okay.
That's crazy.
Well, because I mean, what are you gonna do? Okay, you win some fucking like battle and like George Washington says, good job. Not literally, like whatever. Some like captain says, like, okay, here's some land. You build a plantation. Then the war comes through and you're like, oh, I'm siding with the North. And it's like, huh.
Well, yeah, shocking. Look at you now. Yeah, way to go. Okay. Yeah, it's like I see you. Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, you were just there. Y'all were all just together, a couple generations together. Like,
fully. No, but I feel like you got to kind of come out swinging for the South, you know, to an extent, because you live there, because, and no one else will. And people that I know,
and it's interesting,
like, never,
I mean,
it is. I mean, like, it's like a major part of the country, like, duh.
Yeah. It's where all of our fucking music came from.
Yeah. Like food, and, like all kinds of shit. Like fuck.
Food, slang.
Yeah. I thought you said slaying, like slaying. And I was like, yes, slaying came from.
Oh, right, so stupid. Right. No, that's definitely like me adding extra syllables to shit.
Well, no, but like, yeah, like literally, yeah, language, music, yeah, like you said.
I mean,
it's,
and that's
major.
Certainly like credited to Black Mississippians or Black Southerners, like the music and the food.
That's why
shit.
People sound foolish when they discount the South as like a monolith, because it's like, okay, you're like also being racist saying that, you know? It's like,
yeah, oh my God, definitely. It's. Anyway, like, it's just I cannot criticize it enough, and I cannot defend it enough.
That's so valid, and that's how you should feel about like where you're from and like where you live. Like, it's the only right way.